Thanks to Harvey Norman, your local Launceston superstore. It's Fairsy for your afternoon.
It is World Wombat Day, and we can certainly do a lot as individuals and together and rally and to make sure our wonderful wombats survive, because they are under threat, as you know. I mean, I've made it no secret, and I've thrown my supports totally behind trying to save our wombats from sarcoptic mange and things like that. So I thought, being World Wombat Day, I'd catch up with John Harris from Wombat Rescue Tasmania to find out, you know, the updates and find out how things are going. John, thank you so much for your time, mate. How are you?
Fantastic. What, Fezzy? It's always good. I was going to say Mamma Mia. How could you get that wrong? But it's always nice to elevate the awareness of wombats and their plight at the moment too, not just here in Tassie, but across Australia. And I just, you know, always remind your phenomenal listeners that, you know, the only way to save the species is to go out and find them and treat them. And that's, you know, that's moving on. You know, heaps more volunteers have come on as a result of the promotion through your radio station and all the good work that people are doing around Australia. But today's about celebrating the cuteness of them you know, like the horse's birthday, one day that we can all appreciate the fact that this wonderful animal still exists, you know. And so even though there are, you know, challenging conditions for wombats across Australia, more and more people are waking up to the fact that there's a huge problem and asking the hard questions from politicians. Your Rosemary Armitage up here in Lonnie, she's put it to the government, and unfortunately the government doesn't seem to be reading their own information, or they're reading it wrongly. And it's been 4 years now, and we think it's getting better, right up until the Greens sent me the Freedom of Information showing that the Pipways issued more cull permits for wombats. So people are still shooting healthy ones while the species is on the brink of extinction. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, again, I just don't understand that. I mean, why they're issuing cull permits for an animal that is fighting for survival. Now you did mention about the Pipway and the surveys and things like that. Now, spotlight surveys, are they a credible way of, you know, checking wombat numbers?
No, not, and it's not me saying that either. I mean, I've sent the document to about 50 people now. You know, page 3 of the spotlight survey says, do not use this as an indication of population density. So why Guy Barnett can't understand that, I don't know, but... You know, if you look at the methodology of counting wombats from a moving vehicle with holding onto a torch and a pipboard, I mean, that's a traffic offence. It's not a method. It's not a scientific method at all. And the Pipway clearly recognises that in 3 different places in the document. So the minister should not say it's scientific. He should say it's a guess, and it's an approximation. And last year, we counted 260 wombats from a spotlight survey, and 1,400 were reported with mange. So I'm just not sure whose figures to believe, but those figures are all from the Pipway. So either Guy can't read, which I doubt, or he's choosing, or the person who writes those letters to me is choosing to be blindly oblivious to how we should be counting wombats. And that document I sent to you today, and to Guy Barnett, well, that clearly says this is how you count wombats, and spotlight surveys are not approved, and they are not a suitable method. So, you know, yeah, it's scientific, but, you know... There's plenty of things that are scientific that aren't proven to be accurate, but when the Pipway say, do not use these numbers, and, you know, if it's wet, you're going to see more, and if it's dry, you're going to see more, and if it's wet, you're going to see less, it's just totally contradictory. So I've sent you and Guy Barnett the approved method, which the Pipway signed off on. So all of the other people who come out and say there's no risk of extinction obviously aren't reading the documents that the University of Tasmania have produced, which clearly says... But if it keeps going like this, they will go extinct. I mean, you know our area, and maybe your listeners do, you know, if you've gone to Greens Beach or Kelso, you just can't help but see wombats. Well, there's one left. It's a 130 square kilometre area, and there's one wombat left, and it's decided to cross the main road every second day. So now roadkill becomes, you know, another threat for the wombats, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, and that's where we can play a part. I mean, obviously, if you're passionate about it and feel strongly enough about this issue, and we all should, we got to protect our wildlife. I mean, you know, this is an animal that the government is happy to rake in millions and millions of dollars of tourism when people can come in to come and see them. But, you know, as you and I have discussed many times before, that's not always going to be the case if we don't do something. Now, I know Dr. Scott Carver is doing things, and they've researched, and, you know as well as I do, that Bravecto works. That is a real positive step. But again, there's a cost involved, but, you know, it needs to be rolled right out, and we need to pounce on this.
Yep, I think I'm with you, mate. The faster we act, the better it is, because you just mentioned one of the nasty words in the middle of a global pandemic.
Sorry, mate, you've gone a bit faint there.
Oh, have I? That's
better.
That's not like me at all, yeah.
That's better.
I think, yeah, if Bravecto works, as Dr. Carver's trials will show, then the question for the Tasmanian government becomes, how many wombats will we save? At $80 a pop every 3 months, we have to go and find as many wombats as we can, identify their condition, and then treat them. And then every 3 months, we've got to go back and find the same wombat and treat them again. That's a huge job, and I think once people understand the scale, despite the fact that we're still shooting them, they should be declared endangered right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we should make sure. I mean, strongly urge our MPs and our governments not to issue cull permits. It's crazy.
Yeah, mate, once you've seen a stage 3 wombat that looks like it's near death, I think even the hardest heart is softened. And I think that's the challenge for most of the Dapipui staff. You know, it's very hard to see mange wombats from Murray Street. And unless you go out in the field, and, you know, the Tasmanian public might be horrified to know that with 400-odd staff, Dapipui have never treated a single mange wombat in a 30-year period. And that's unforgivable. I mean, what are they doing? They've got a little mange committee there, and none of them have ever treated a mange wombat either. So the subject matter experts are the good volunteers for Wombat Rescue Tasmania, who operate all around Tasmania and sacrifice their lives for the wombats. They're the people we should be celebrating on International Wombat Day.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
The ones that we appreciate. And, you know, the Wombat Rescue Tasmania people did a shout-out the other week for volunteers and got overwhelmed with people. So
brilliant.
The people know that they need protecting, and the people know that we can treat them and heal them now. And now it's just a matter of continually doing that right up until the time we decide how many we can save in the wild.
And again, we can play a part, us, when we're driving around. If you see a wombat out during the day, chances are it's got mange, because that's not normal behaviour, is it?
Yeah, that's right, mate. We went to Liffey Falls the other week for a little bushwalk, and on the way out we thought, oh, a vineyard, let's go and invest locally. And drove past the vineyard, did a U-turn, yeah, bang, stage 3 mange wombat. And it's just like, oh no, at the bottom of Liffey, on the edge of the National World Heritage Area, there's another mange wombat. So we instantly reported it to Wombat Rescue Tasmania. We took a photo, we geolocated it, and passed it on, and Wombat Rescue Tasmania sent a person out the same day to treat the wombat.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. If you do spot a wombat with... And John, very quickly, before I let you go, just to describe, for those who may not know what it is, and that's fair enough, but for a mangy wombat, you are looking for scabby skin, you know, losing hair. They might be behaving erratically, you know, blind, things like that.
Yep. You just described it, big fella. Yeah, the fur starts falling off from the feet up, and by the time they're in stage 2, the wombat's mites just keep eating the wombat, and it's scratching itself to death, and it's blind, and it's deaf, and it's looking for water and food, and that's when it needs urgent attention.
Yeah, exactly, and we don't want it to get to that. I mean, there is a cure there, and again, lobby your MPs, pour the pressure on, urge them not, and urge the state government not to issue cull permits. There's no reason to. When, you know, and we need to do all we can to save them. And all right, John, well, look, thank you so much for your time. Again, a big thank you to you and for everyone who set up Wombat Rescue Tasmania.
It's only about the volunteers in the field, mate. I do nothing except flap my gums. The people who are out there doing it all day, every day, who have dedicated their lives, they need a memorial to those people. I'm not one of them, mate. I'm just here to keep that political pressure on, otherwise nothing's going to happen and then we will lose the species.
You started it. You started it.
But it was a policeman who came and saw me with the good people from Tasmanian Wildlife Rehabilitation Centre. And up until that stage, nobody knew that you could actually treat them in Tasmania, and we had to break all kinds of laws there to start treating them. So it was, you know, I mean, I drove home one night and saw a wombat and stopped, and the thing had been run over, and it looked at me in the face with its eyes as it was dying, and that just really ripped me apart. I can't stop doing it, mate. I just can't. No. And I won't take no for an answer. You know, if Guy Barnett wants to come for a drive, mate, we'll show him what it looks like, and he too would be touched.
Well, he needs to. He needs to. Mm. If I was the minister, I want to check it out firsthand. I would want to have a look. And
yeah, well, I've asked him for a meeting, mate. 30 minutes, guy. That's all I need, mate. And I'll just show you the documents that the Pipway approved have printed, and you tell me that I'm a fool, or you look at your staff and go, what are they doing to me? Because they'll go the same way as the devils, mate. And many of the people who worked on the Devil Project are working on the Wombat Project, and they all know the facts. It took 10 years before the Tasmanian government did anything about devils, and I don't think we've got 10 years with the Wombats.
No, I agree with you totally. All right, mate. Well, again, there are things we can do. Please just slow down driving dawn and dusk throughout the night, obviously, because, you know, wombats are out and about, healthy ones, at that particular time. If you do spot a mangy wombat, please take a photo and ring Wombat Rescue Tasmania and let them know where you are, send them a photo, all that sort of thing. And they're, you know, Wombat Rescue, they're on Facebook. They've got a website and all that sort of thing as well. So, you know, you can find them.
That's it. And the station has sent many good people to us, mate, so we appreciate LAFM's fantastic effort, and bless Natalie Castles for letting you talk about it too.
Thanks to Harvey Norman, your local Launceston superstore. It's Fairsy for your afternoon.